almost 20 weeks we've been looking at empty things of the Bible, and this is our last message in this series. And what I want to look at tonight is the triumph we have in times of emptiness. The triumph in times of emptiness. And if you look at Isaiah chapter 55, we're only going to look at one verse, and this is a verse I've quoted many times, but we're going to look at it in some detail tonight. In Isaiah 55 and verse 11, it says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whitherto I sent it." Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for your word tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to gather in this way. Thank you for the privilege we have to come together as a church. Thank you to all of those who are faithful to gather at the right time. Thank you for those who are faithful in their prayers for the church and for the message and for me today, Lord. I just pray that once again you would remove me out of the way, and that I would simply be a vessel for you to use, and that your voice would be heard tonight and not mine. Father, I pray that if there's anything I say amiss, that you'd forgive me for it, Lord. But I just ask that everything which is said and done tonight would bring you glory, honor, and praise, and that somebody might find the help they need tonight. Somebody might be encouraged. Somebody might be challenged. Somebody might be saved. But that you would help us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to recognize the importance of your word, especially in those empty times of our lives, especially in those difficulties, in those dry seasons, as it were, in those times of trial and tribulation. Help us to understand the importance of studying your word and applying it to our hearts and lives. For we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for the fact that we have such authority in our hands. You know, when we need help with a situation or a circumstance, I'm thankful that we can turn to the Word of God, and there is nothing flimsy about it. You know, oftentimes, we've watched many news or press conferences over these past few weeks, and sometimes somebody will stand up and, you know, they speak as if they have no authority. What they're saying may be true. What they're saying may even be accurate, but it just doesn't seem to be, you know, any punch there. And sometimes, you know, we live in a day and age where we're surrounded by what we term fake news, and there is so much nonsense out on the internet today and on social media platforms, and, you know, fake news seems to have gained such a foothold in our world today. But I'm thankful that in the Word of God there is no such thing as fake news from the beginning to the end of this precious Word. There's nothing flimsy about it. What we have in our hand is something that is so authoritative, and it is applicable to every part of our lives. It helps us as we are newborn babes in Christ to grow and to develop and to learn to stand on our own two feet. It helps us when we need to be picked up. It helps us when it needs to pull us down as well. Because when we are low in the times of trial, God's Word picks us up. And when we're puffed up in a moment of pride, God's Word will take our feet from under us and bring us back down to the level where we need to be. Can I say this? God's Word conquers emptiness. There are many times in our lives, and we've said this before, you know, you're in one of three places. You're either heading into the valley, or you are in the valley, or you are heading out of the valley. You are always in one of those three places as a believer. And sometimes when we go through those dry seasons, when we go through those valley experiences of life, when we go through those empty periods of our lives, they can feel like they last the longest of times. And it's unfortunate, but as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, when the going gets tough, the Word gets going. That's the one thing I've seen time and time again. When Christians face a time of difficulty, we start to shy away from this Word. And that's happened in my life personally, I'm ashamed to say. But that ought to be the opposite thing. When we go through a time of trial, when we go through a time of difficulty, when we go through a dry spell, when we go through that valley, it's the Word of God that will pick us up. It's the Word of God that will give us the strength. It's the Word of God that will provide the light at the end of that tunnel. It's the Word of God that will give us the hope we need in the hopeless situations we face in life. God's word conquers emptiness. We are told that my word will not return void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whither I goeth. Whither I send it. And there's a few things I want to look at tonight, and we're just going to break this verse down into four or five parts. First of all, we see the proclamation of the word. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. God's word is effective. You know, it's like the rain that nourishes the earth. It's like the, you know, oftentimes we look at it and think, oh, you know, we love this weather. We love the sunshine. We love sitting outside. Well, most of us do anyway. I know there's a few people in our church that would rather it be raining than sunny, but they need to get right with God. But, you know, we look at this weather, and as great as this weather is, if we didn't have the rain, then the hillsides wouldn't be as green. The flowers wouldn't grow. The crops wouldn't grow. You know, the harvest wouldn't be produced. So we need that rain. That rain nourishes the ground, feeds the ground. And that's what God's word does to our soul. God's word nourishes us. That's why it's referred to as milk, and it's referred to as meat, and it's referred to as honey. And, you know, we read several occasions. John was told to eat the book. Joshua was told to eat the words. You know, we have to feed upon the word of God. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. The words from the mouth of God triumph over emptiness. You might say, yeah, but this, you know, this Bible, it was just written by man. Well, Peter says the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This word is inspired. It is God-breathed. We have this word of God. The inerrant word is, it is without error. We have this word in our hands, and it will not return void. This word that goes forth from the mouth of God, we hold in our hands the very words of God. Just as God spoke and filled the emptiness of the void that was there before the universe was spoken into existence, he spoke that by his word. He said, let there be light, and there was. He said, let this grow, let it create this. Let all of that was spoken by the word of God. God's word is powerful. The proclamation of God's word is powerful. If God's word could speak the universe into existence, if God's word created everything that we see around us, how much power is there in God's word? It's incredible to think where people turn to for their help in this world. And you know, people will believe a whole host of things that they read, and people will hold on to that, and people will take that to heart, and yet God's word is mocked. God's word is scoffed. You know, that's just an old-fashioned book. You know, that's just something that belongs in the past. It's incredible, you know, that and just for one instance, you know, you can go to the British Museum, and time again, you will see evidence for the truth of God's word. You know, at one point they mocked the Bible because the Bible talked about a tribe of people called the Hittites. And it was like, it's farcical, that makes no sense. You know, there's no such thing, until archaeologists discovered that actually what was recorded in the Bible was true. God's word is just so powerful. After that, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. How incredible that this word in July of 1994 changed my life, changed my eternal destiny. This word has picked up the dregs of society, if you like. This word has changed a drunkard into a preacher. This word has changed a prostitute into a missionary. This word has changed a gambler into a Sunday school teacher. This word has changed the down and out to the up and coming. Because there's power in the Word of God. When a lost soul comes to know Christ as their Savior, through the Word of God, there's a change that takes place that we can't explain. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We have the proclamation of God. You know, and oftentimes we battle within our own minds. Our mind is a terrible thing. Sometimes all we need is a word from the Lord just to calm the mind, to comfort the soul, to ease the heart that's broken. You know, we have today human reason, we have worldly wisdom, we have plans and strategies, we have organization, skill, eloquence, marketing, religious showmanship, personality, science, technology, education, social programs, and all of those, can I say, are ineffective compared to the Word of God. You know, we could have the fanciest church go in, you could have the most eloquent speaker stand in the pulpit, you can have the church ram-packed to the rafters with people, but if the Word of God is not proclaimed, can I say this? It is all a waste of time. You know, we are not here to fill in an hour of your time on a Sunday evening, or to fill in an hour of your time on a Sunday morning, or to fill in an hour of your time on a Wednesday night with social activities. We are here to preach the Word. We are here to be instant, in season and out of season. We are here to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering, because it's the proclamation of God's Word that makes the difference. It doesn't matter what I say on this platform. It doesn't matter if I stand here and give you anecdote and joke after joke, and I let everybody leave this church having their ears tickled and saying, oh, well, that was such a lovely time to be in church tonight. Can I say this? That God's Word is sharp and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And if I've not stood here and proclaimed the Word of God so it's cut to the chase, then we've wasted our time. It's the proclamation of God's Word. And we ought to preach it. We ought to tell people about it. And it's not just the case that when the Lord Jesus Christ said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, we ought to be heralders. We ought to herald the gospel message. That's what he's saying. Go and proclaim it. Go and tell it forth. But guess what? The proclamation of God's Word is not just for a lost and dying world that come to know Christ as their Savior. The proclamation of God's Word is for the believer, so that we can find the help that we need at the time that we need it. Don't make the mistake that so many people do. You know, when we're going through a time of difficulty, sometimes when people send a Bible verse to you, if you go through a time of difficulty, you're like, oh, I don't want to read that text. I don't want to know that. That's the wrong thing to do. The only thing that's going to help with the emptiness that you are facing right now, whether it's the emptiness of a lost soul, or the emptiness of a broken heart, or the emptiness of a reduced strength, or the emptiness of a trial you're facing, or the emptiness of a tunnel you're going through, or the emptiness of a valley you are battling, or the emptiness of the strongholds of your mind, bringing those thoughts into captivity, whatever the emptiness is that you are facing, God's Word can fill that void. It can heal that broken heart. It can strengthen that weak walk. It can provide the light at the end of that tunnel. It can provide the hope of being able to get out of that valley. Don't stay away from the Word of God when you go through times of difficulty, because it will fill the void. And then not only do we see the proclamation of God's Word, we see the productivity of God's Word. It shall not return unto me void. God makes it clear. He will triumph over emptiness. Do not stand here today and say, well, Pastor, that just doesn't work. Pastor, you know, God can't help me. God can't mend my heart. God can't strengthen my walk. God can't. That's a load of old nonsense, and that's a lie that you were believing from the devil himself. Because God can. Why? It's not my viewpoint. That's not my opinion. That's what the Word of God says. It shall not return unto me void. The word return is from the Hebrew word shub, which means to return, to turn back, to withdraw, to lead away by luring, to turn backward or to reverse. The word void is from the word reikon, which means empty, ineffective, worthless, or without cause. God's word will never be worthless. God's word will never be without cause. God's word will never be vain. God's word will never be empty. And the proclamation of God's word will never go to waste. You might think to yourself, there's no point in witnessing to my friends and family anymore because they just don't listen. God's word doesn't return void. They might turn a blind eye, they might turn a deaf ear as it was, but God's word does not return void. The imperfect mood is used with the word return, which means that is a continual condition. It will never, ever, ever return void. God works in people's hearts through his word. God's word is powerful. It's always effective. And you know, that's not just the same for salvation, that's the same for us. Whatever it is you are facing right now, whatever difficulty you're going through right now, whatever pain you are suffering right now, you might think that there's no hope and there's no help, but you have to understand that God's word will not return void. Don't stay away from God's word. You know, that's the start of a slippery slope. We start to stay away from the Word of God, then we stop praying, then we stop attending church, and then we stop having any kind of association with any Christian who might step on our toes. That's a slippery slope downwards. God's Word is productive. Never underestimate the power of God's Word. God's word can change a lost sinner into somebody that he can use. But God's word can also take the brokenhearted and help us in a time of great need. You know, you look at how many times David, on the run from Saul, fearing for his life. How many times, you know, when he said, I'm downcast. How many times did David have to rely upon the word of God? And don't forget now, we go back to the Old Testament. Oftentimes we say, oh yeah, well, it was easy for them. You know, they actually saw the Lord. It was easy for Abraham because, you know, God spoke to him about maybe 4 or 5 times in his whole life. We sometimes fail to realize, oh yeah, well, it was easy for that Bible character because, you know, God was with them. They didn't have the Word of God. They didn't have the complete revelation of God's Word. Moses didn't have any Bible. David had a limited amount of parchments in terms of the Scripture. But yet it was God's Word that helped him through the difficult times. If anything, we are in a far more privileged position than the Old Testament saints. Because not only do we have the complete revelation of God's word, but we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within inside us to help us to understand, to point us to the right passage, to take that word and apply it to our hearts and life. You ever wondered why, when you read the word of God and you're struggling with something and all of a sudden a verse jumps out to you so clearly? Is that just chance? Is that just a lucky coincidence? No, that's the Holy Spirit pointing your heart to the right verse at the right time, saying, child, understand that this is a verse you need to hear today. You ever had somebody text you a verse of scripture and suddenly you think, wow, how did they know? We're in such a privileged position today because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within each of us. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will prompt somebody to send a text, to send a passage of scripture to somebody else. And it's the exact verse we need at the exact time. God's word is productive. It never returns void. But not only is it productive, it's powerful. It shall accomplish. What a blessing it is to reach a goal or finish a project. You know, the amount of people that I've heard say, we've got all of these lists to do now while we're in lockdown. And how incredible it is to stand back then and, look at a finished project. Look at something I've worked on and, how incredible that is. God's word is powerful. It shall accomplish. That's the power of the scriptures. The word accomplish is from the Hebrew word also, which means to produce, to act with effectiveness, to put in order, to perform. God says his word is productive. It is effective. It puts in order that which is in disorder. Can I say to you, if you are out of step with the Lord, then you need to get back to the word, because the word of God is effective. It will put in order that which is in disorder. If there is something wrong in your life, if there is a sin that you are committing that you need help with, forsaking, then you need to come to the word of God, because the word of God is productive. It is effective. It'll help with that area of your life. It'll put right that area of your life that you are struggling with. But you have to read it. You have to meditate upon it. You have to apply it to your heart and life. It is powerful. It will accomplish. Can I say this? It accomplished salvation when we called upon the name of the Lord, when we believed the word, when we believed that Jesus Christ died upon the cross. It was powerful enough to accomplish salvation in our hearts, because the word of God pointed to the Savior and we accepted that by faith. If it's powerful enough for salvation, can I say this to you? It's powerful enough to get us through every single difficulty that we will ever face in our lives. God says it shall accomplish. It will be effective. It will be productive. But sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it steps on our toes. And I've said this to our church time and time again. If the word of God steps on your toes, then you're walking in the wrong place. And sometimes it steps on our toes. Sometimes we don't want to hear that what we're doing is wrong. Sometimes we don't want to hear that a direction we're going in is wrong. Sometimes we don't want to hear that the decision we've made has been made in haste or has been made according to the flesh. And sometimes God's word hurts. I mean, you think of David again. You know, we spoke of David and how he recognized the productivity of God's word when he was on the run from Saul, and how, how much emphasis he put on the word of God. But sometimes God's word chastened David. Yeah, you think of David's sin with Bathsheba. And, David sinned with Bathsheba, he covered it up. But then God sent Nathan, the prophet. And Nathan spoke to him about a rich man who had everything. And a poor man who just had one little lamb. And the rich man took that lamb, and David was incensed. He said, I can't believe that man needs to restore. And Nathan turned around and said, David, thou art the man. Sometimes God's word hurts. But it's our response to the word of God. How did David respond to the word of God? Did David throw Nathan out? Did David have Nathan put to death? Did David never want anything to do with Nathan ever again? Can I say this to you? If you're facing a time of difficulty and somebody sends you a verse, don't cut them off because you think they're not trying to be self-righteous, they're not trying to be judgmental, they're not trying to be super saints, they're not trying to be holier than you, they're trying to help. Don't reject God's word, don't reject the messenger that God may have sent you away. God's word is powerful. Yes, sometimes God's word hurts. God's word is not a feather duster. It's not designed to tickle our ears. God's word is a sharp two-edged sword. It's meant to cut straight to the chase. It's meant to get straight to the point. It's meant to cut through all the nonsense and all the defenses that we put up and all the justifications that we put up for why we're behaving, God's word gets through all of that nonsense and it gets straight to the point. It's powerful. Never underestimate the power of God's word. You know, the power in preaching God's word. In 1882, at the age of 45, D.L. Moody conducted a campaign through England. And on September the 26th, he preached from Genesis 3:9. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" In that service, a 14-year-old by the name of Tommy Booz, he was the youngest of 12 children, born in a lawyer's family. And he was glued to his seat. He hung on Moody's every word. 3 days later, he wrote to his sister Evie and told her that he went to Moody's revival meeting and trusted Christ as his Savior. He told her that Moody spoke from Genesis 3:9, "Where art thou?" he told his sister. That was the first question that God ever asked man in the Bible, and that's the first question that people ought to ask themselves. Tommy's life was changed. He later became a prominent preacher. He had a son, Cecil, who eventually became a missionary for 20 years in Kenya before he came home to England to lead one of the largest missionary societies. Cecil had 4 children. One became a missionary surgeon in Africa. One was a Christian businessman in London. One became a pastor's wife. And the 4th, Richard Booz, in 1983, became the senior pastor of All Souls Church in London until November 2004. Altogether, over 100 children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren have lived their lives because of a decision that Tommy Booz made based on the preaching of the Word of God. Never underestimate the power of the Word of God. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, all that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God's word is effective. It will accomplish. And then we see the pleasure of God's word. It shall accomplish that which I please. It'll accomplish what God wants to accomplish. His desires and purpose will come to pass. It's incredible how the Lord can do anything he pleases through. He can do the impossible. And how incredible that he's left us the word of God to speak to our hearts so that the will of God can be done in our lives. You know, and that's the basic principle that each and every believer has to get to in their lives. Thy will be done, not mine. You know, if we want our will done in our lives, then we are basically putting ourselves above the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thy will be done." You know, we live in a society where we demand to have our own way. If things don't go right, then we pout and we throw a strop and we want what we want now and, you know, we want our own way, and if we can't get it, we're going to stamp our feet and pout. And we can't do that as believers. It's not about us. It's about him. And until we get to that point in our Christian walk, we're going to struggle. It's not about my will being done. It's about his will being done. Let me ask you this question. What if the person who told you about the Lord Jesus Christ had decided for their will to be done in their lives and not God's will to be done in their lives? Because if they were living their life with God's will being done in their lives, and God led them to you to be a witness to you. You have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior because somebody was willing for God's will to be done in their lives. What if they decided, I don't want to do God's will, I want to do my will. I don't want to speak to that person. I don't want to go onto that mission field. I don't want to become a full-time missionary. I don't want to become a pastor. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. How many people in the world today would not know about the Lord Jesus Christ? Because Christians were selfish enough to say, my will be done. God's word accomplishes that which he pleases. It's all about him. It's not about us. It's about him. Jesus beheld them in Matthew 19:26 and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Can I say this, that the situation you are facing right now may seem impossible? And when we pray to God, we've said this many times in the church, when we pray to God, it doesn't mean that God changes our circumstances, he just changes our attitude sometimes to cope with the circumstances that we are facing. You might be facing something right now that you think this is impossible, Pastor, you just don't know what I'm going through, you don't understand what I'm dealing with, you don't understand how I feel, you don't understand what it means, and you're absolutely right, I don't. But the Lord does. And I can promise you this, if you diligently study the Word of God, if you earnestly pray that the Lord will lead you to the right passage of Scripture, can I say this to you? His Word will not return void. It will accomplish that which he pleases. The preaching of the cross to them that perish may be foolishness, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. Look at David, as we said earlier. David, when Nathan rebuked him and said, thou art the man, what did he do? He reacted in the right way. He didn't throw Nathan out. He didn't have Nathan put to death. He didn't have nothing to do with Nathan ever again. But what we see from David's response to the fact that God's word stepped on his toes, we have Psalm 51, which is David's repentance, which is David coming before the Lord and pleading with the Lord to forgive him and to not to remove his spirit from him. And to, you see that great repentance psalm. Don't underestimate the effects of the Scripture in our lives. God will accomplish that which he pleases in our hearts. Think about it. We want what's best for our children. As a father, I want what's best for my girls. As a father, I want to make sure that they're okay, that they are protected, that, you know, when they're hurting, I want to be able to help them. So how much more does God feel about us as his children? You think God hurts when he sees... any parent ever done that when they've seen a child hurt and you're like, your heart breaks and, you know, if they're in pain, you feel helpless because you can't do anything to take that pain away. How does God feel about us as his children when we go through these times of difficulty and we're in pain and we're hurting and we're upset and we're sometimes just crying because there just doesn't seem to be any help or hope? But God says to a child, the answer is already in front of you. My word will accomplish the purpose that I've set out for it. It will be a help. It will be a strength. It will be a comfort. It will guide you in terms of what to do next. And then finally, we see the prosperity of God's word. Don't panic, we're not getting into a prosperity gospel. But this is what God says, it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The word prosper is from the Hebrew word salah, which means to advance, make progress, to bring to a successful issue, to prosper. God's desire and purposes are fulfilled and advanced through his word. The Bible teaches us that obedience to the word leads to success. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou may make thyself, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Can I say this to you? This is the only place in the Bible where the word success appears. And it is linked to obeying the scripture. How much more successful would we be as believers if we simply obey the scripture? How much more successful would we be as husbands if we obey the scripture? How much more successful would we be as wives if we obey the scripture? As parents if we obey the scripture? As children if we obey the scripture? How much more successful would we be as a witness, as a testimony, if we obey the scripture? The counsel that we have from God's word gives that stability in our lives. It helps us to make those wise decisions. You know, sometimes when we make a decision on the spur of the moment, when we make a decision based on our fleshy desires, it can lead to such pain and heartache further down the road. But when we make our decisions based upon the word of God, that's when we're really prosperous. We might not be prosperous in the eyes of the world, but I can promise you this, we'll be prosperous in the eyes of God in a spiritual point of view. If you're going to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, then understand that the word of God will play a vital role in your heart and in your life as you surrender to the Lord, in terms of your effectiveness for serving him, in terms of your effectiveness of being the husband, wife, child, brother, sister, whatever it might be, the work colleague that you need to be. What you do with the Bible will determine what God does with you. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. David's emphasis was on the word of God. You know, it's incredible that the longest psalm, or the longest chapter that we have in the Bible, is Psalm 119, and in every verse we have God's word mentioned. And whether God's word is referred to as the law, or whether it's referred to as his precepts, or whether it's referred to as his ways, or whether it's referred to as his statutes, or his commandments, or his righteous judgments, whatever it is, every verse has those words mentioned. Every verse either has the word of God mentioned or alludes to the word of God if it's not mentioned directly. David's emphasis was upon the word of God. And David was a man after God's own heart. David was the one king that everyone else was compared to. Every other king that came after them, they said, and they walked not in the ways of David, their father. They did that which was right in their own eyes, and they didn't do like David their father did. Or they did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and they followed after David their father, but not with their whole heart, as it were. David, his emphasis was upon the word of God. Can I say this in closing tonight? What emptiness are you facing as we bring this series to a close? What emptiness are you facing in your life right now? Can I say this? That the only thing that will fill our void is the word of God. We might turn to every available resource out in the world for help, but God's word doesn't return void. The proclamation of God's word, we have to read it. We have to read it. There's no point in having this incredible word in our hands and then staying away from it. We have to read it so that it'll help our times of difficulty. It'll help our times of distress. It'll help in our times of anxiety. The proclamation of God's word. We have to read it so that we can apply it to our hearts and to our lives. And then we see the productivity of God's word. It's not there just for it to look good on our bookshelf. God has given us this word for a purpose. And we see the productivity of God's word. It shall not return unto me void. The power of God's word, it will accomplish. It shall accomplish. It is not a question of like, oh, it might and it could help and maybe. It shall accomplish. And then the pleasure of God's word, it'll accomplish what God pleases. And the prosperity of God's word, it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. What do you need help with today? Can I say this? If you were lost this evening, then God's word will point you to the Saviour. God's word will show you how you have sinned and come short of God's glory. God's word will show you that Christ died upon the cross for you. God's word will show you if you confess Him as your Lord and Saviour and confess your sins to God, then you'll be forgiven. God's word will show you how you have a home in heaven waiting for you. If you are here tonight and your emptiness is a lost soul, then you need to be saved. If you are listening to this tonight and you are in the valley of emptiness, or if you were in the tunnel of emptiness, or if you were in a dry season, if your spiritual walk at the moment is empty, then can I say this? Turn to the Word of God. Ask for God's will to be done in your life. Feed upon the Word of God. Apply it to your heart and to your life. And you'll see the difference. If we stay away from this word, then we won't get better in the situations that we face. We'll get bitter. And then we'll become angry at God. And then we'll blame Him. And then we'll just be like the world outside that blames God for everything, but doesn't want to seek His face. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is your emptiness that you are facing tonight? Can I say this? God's word won't return empty, but it will certainly plug the gap, as it were. It will certainly fill the emptiness that you are feeling right now in whatever situation you face, because that is the power of God's word. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time together tonight and for your word. I just pray, Lord, whatever the need is on here tonight, Lord, whatever the need is of those listening to this message, I just pray, Lord, that you would help them, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would help them to overcome whatever it is that they are facing, that you would give them maybe a new sense of passion for your word. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to study this word, to apply this word, to feed upon this word, and then to share this word with others. Father, thank you again for giving us such an incredible privilege that we can hold in our hands the very words of God. Father, would you just bless us tonight, I pray, for we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We'll stand and sing our last hymn together. This was Neil O'Farrell's choice, and we'll stand and sing, Oh Happy Day. Amen. that day when I accepted you as my personal Savior, that day when I knelt before you and asked for the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to forgive my sins. And Father, I'm thankful that there are many who are gathered here tonight who can say the same thing, that they remember that time when they called upon the name of the Lord. And Father, we can rejoice in the fact that our salvation has granted us that home in heaven, that has restored that relationship that was broken because of Adam and Eve's sin. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to be mindful of that fact as we go forward into this week, no matter what we face, no matter what difficulties we come up against, no matter what tricks the devil plays on our mind, no matter what our thought process is, we pray that you would continually bring us back to the Word of God, just to continue to give us those words of help, those words of hope, those words of comfort, those words of strength, those words of encouragement. And Father, I pray that you would just speak to hearts tonight, that whatever the need is, if it's a need of salvation, that somebody tonight would accept Christ as their Savior. If it's a need of comfort, Lord, that that broken heart would be mended. If it's a need of strength, Lord, then that the feeble believer may be picked up back on their feet. Lord, if it's a need of guidance, then that wayward believer would be brought back to that straight and narrow path, as it were. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to be mindful of the precious word that we have in our hands, and that you would help us to read it, to study it, to meditate upon it, Lord, and to apply it to our hearts and to our lives. For we ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.